It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. In his personal history, Joseph Smith described being in a quandary, in over his head. Have you ever felt like that? In his own words, he said, quote, "While I was laboring under the extreme difficulties, I was one day reading the Epistle of James, first chapter, fifth verse, which reads, 'If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.' I reflected on it again and again, knowing that if any person needed wisdom from God, I did, for how to act I did not know. And unless I could get more wisdom than I then had, I would never know." Close quote. That's how Joseph Smith thought about his life when he was trying to figure out which church was true and whether his sins could be forgiven. Have you ever wondered if God really speaks? Or if he really speaks to you? Have you wondered if you are good enough for God to want to tell you anything? Have you wondered how you would know it if God was trying to tell you something? These are questions everyone has asked themselves at one time or another. Many people believe that for God to speak to them, they must be worthy, they must be good. They must not have sinned. I have a different point of view. God doesn't approve of sin because it's wasteful, hurts others, and is self-destructive. But I also know God wants all of us to be better. I believe God will talk to anyone, especially a sinner, who is really seeking help from God. After all, wouldn't that person need as much, maybe more help than anyone else? I believe God loves everyone equally. Not that he loves sin, but he loves all of his children and wants them to be better. And I promise you that if you need help, no matter how low or desperate you may feel, God will hear your plea, no matter what your past. Today I'm going to relate one story I heard from a personal friend who has since passed away. His story is one of many which lead me to the position that I've shared with you so far. I know God will hear and answer a sincere prayer from absolutely anyone. I met Lloyd in the mid-1980s when we were both working at the same law firm. Lloyd shared with me a story about how he learned God answers prayers, and one way, a common way, in which God answers prayers. Lloyd was trying to earn money so that he could go on a mission. He desperately needed a job and was finally, through a referral, able to land one with Salt Lake City construction firm. Lloyd was much younger than everyone else on the crew. On the first day at work, he could tell that the foreman was not impressed with him. He was smaller and younger than everyone else. Jobs were scarce. Second day was the same. Lloyd heard comments like, "If you can't handle this kind of work, there are plenty of others who need the job." Lloyd knew his job was not going well, but he needed it badly. On his third day at work, when he reported as usual, he went to the foreman for instructions on what he was to do that day. The foreman looked at Lloyd with a bit of contempt and said, "Here's what I want you to start with today." The boss led Lloyd to a long metal guardrail, which had been pulled out of the ground by heavy equipment. Each steel post of the long metal guardrail had a large barrel-sized chunk of cement on it. "I want you to knock all the cement off these steel posts," the boss said. He handed Lloyd a sledgehammer and stood back to watch. Anxious to finally impress the boss, after raising it high over his head, Lloyd took a huge swing with the sledgehammer, which impacted the first chunk of cement with no result. He made 8 or 10 more blows as hard as he could muster with the sledgehammer, all on the first chunk of cement. Rail vibrated a bit, but not a single piece of cement moved. Not a chip, not a split, nothing. After resting a few minutes, Lloyd tried again, over and over, but with no better results. Cement, completely impervious to his blows, was the way it looked to him. Lloyd felt embarrassed. The boss smiled and walked away, shaking his head. Lloyd wondered, as he had on the two previous mornings, if this would be his last day on the job. With only 3 months left before he would go on his mission, he needed every penny he could earn to help cover his mission expenses, at the very least for the first few months of his mission. Lloyd's father said no sacrifice by the family would be too great for the privilege of supporting Lloyd in the mission field. Lloyd wanted to do all he could to lessen this sacrifice. He remembered how his family had sacrificed while his older brother was out in the mission field. Lloyd remembered how grateful his father was when Lloyd could spare a few dollars he had earned to give for his brother's mission. But Lloyd didn't want to cause more sacrifice. He didn't want to be fired on his third day of work. He had to try with all his might to break the cement chunks off the guardrail. He took a firmer grasp on the handle of the sledgehammer, holding it a little lower this time to get a better grip, better weight advantage. And several strokes later, with no result, he was becoming angry and afraid. Nothing was happening. He couldn't strike any harder. He didn't break the cement. Why? Why couldn't he break the cement? Lloyd knew his boss was going to come back to check on his work at some point, and he had the feeling if he didn't show some more progress when the boss got back, he would be fired. On his very first day, Lloyd had told the boss that he had quit school to work for a few months so he could go on a mission. He thought the boss would have a great reaction, but instead, the comment was, "Why do you want to waste your time like that?" Since then, the boss seemed bent on going out of his way to make snide comments about the church and other crude remarks that Lloyd thought seemed to be intended to shock him. But he was the boss. He was in charge. He was the one who had the power to fire Lloyd or let him stay on. Lloyd looked again at the long guardrail. He said it had 13 steel legs extending from it like a giant comb with most of the teeth missing. It was a guardrail to prevent cars in a parking lot from hitting the adjacent building. It had been installed by digging these 13 massive holes in the ground in a straight line, spaced at 8-foot intervals or so, with a steel post cemented into each hole. And the connecting bumper rail was welded to each post. The entire guardrail had been removed by having two large backhoes extract the whole thing in one piece. And there it was, lying in the driveway with each post encased in a barrel-sized chunk of cement. This is what Lloyd was looking at. When we come back, the conclusion of Lloyd's predicament, his story. It's a great story, one of many, which has led me to believe that God really indeed hears and answers prayers. If you have a question or comment for me, send me an email. I'd be happy to respond. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. I'm relating the story of a friend of mine who's since passed away. Lloyd was trying to knock off some cement that was on the end of the posts on a rail, a guardrail, and nothing was happening. Back to the story. The boss came back. He didn't fire Lloyd, as Lloyd expected. But he said, "Here, try this," handing him a heavier sledgehammer. Lloyd smiled, traded sledgehammers. The boss watched for a few more minutes while Lloyd tried with perhaps even less success, because the sledgehammer, this new one, was heavier than the first, and Lloyd could hardly manage it. The boss, again shaking his head, turned around, left to supervise some other part of the crew. The only difference, really, between the new sledgehammer and the old one was that the new one was harder to lift. Lloyd was falling into despair. He kept striking the sledgehammer against the first chunk of cement. After maybe 80 or 90 blows, one small piece of cement broke off. After several more strikes, Lloyd's arms started to ache even more. He was exhausted, but the cement was still intact. At this rate, Lloyd knew what he was asked to do was beyond his capacity. He also knew that if he didn't show some real progress by noon, he'd probably be fired. Thousands of striking workers at that point in time, with families to feed, were out looking for full-time employment. How was he, some 20-year-old kid, going to compete with them for the few jobs that were available? After a few more hard, unsuccessful strokes, Lloyd knew he had reached his limit. He needed more strength than he had. He needed more wisdom than he had. Resting this heavy sledgehammer on the ground and trying to compose himself, full of anger and also frustration and sadness, Lloyd decided to pray. That wasn't the kind of place for some kind of traditional prayer. The middle of a parking lot in the summer, workmen all around. But it would have to do. Without kneeling, bowing his head, or even closing his eyes, Lloyd started praying out loud, explaining the task he faced, how his abilities fell short, and how he needed help for something good to go on a mission. Lloyd told God he knew he had called him on a mission, and he said that he knew God wanted him to go. Lloyd expressed gratitude, saying the job had already been an answer to his prayers, but he needed help so that he could keep it. Lloyd said he didn't expect God to send angels or anything, but he knew God could help him. Lloyd expressed faith. Lloyd said never in his life had a prayer been answered more immediately or clearly. Suddenly, in his mind, he had a simple yet clear thought. Lloyd said to someone smarter or maybe more experienced, they might have thought of this on their own, but it was beyond him. Lloyd knew it was a direct answer to his prayer. The simple, clear thought was to, instead of striking the cement, strike the steel. not understanding why. But with the kernel of faith, Lloyd raised the sledgehammer and brought it down 5 or 6 times as hard as he could on the steel post right above the cement. A large section of the cement cracked into big chunks and fell off. Lloyd quickly realized his blows to the steel caused strong vibrations that were transmitted all along the steel shaft. Lloyd quickly forgot the weight of the sledgehammer. With new energy, he struck the steel again and again and again. Each time he struck, the vibrations caused large chunks of cement to fall off each succeeding steel post. When the cement was off a steel post, he moved on to the next one, amazed at the magnification of his efforts as the steel vibrated each time and the cement cracked and fell off. It still took 2 more hours of excruciating work. But Lloyd had removed the cement from all 13 posts. He'd stacked the large chunks of cement in a pile. With the sledgehammer on his shoulder and a prayer of gratitude in his heart, Lloyd went to find the boss. "I need some help moving the guardrail out of the driveway," Lloyd told the boss. Thinking Lloyd was giving up on the project, the boss motioned Lloyd to follow him to the parking lot. As they rounded the corner of the building and the boss saw the railing and the pile of cement, he suddenly stopped. His chin started to drop a bit. For about a minute, he stood quietly, looking first at the railing, free of cement, and then at the pile of broken up cement. Then he turned toward Lloyd, asked him to follow him, and said, "Come on, I'll give you something else to do." Nothing else was said until the next morning when Lloyd arrived for work. The boss told Lloyd, "You're welcome to stay on as long as you like." Lloyd smiled and said, "Thank you." Lloyd also gave God many silent prayers of thanks in his heart. Lloyd is no different from you or me. He made mistakes in his life, just as have we all. As we all do at some or perhaps many points in our life, Lloyd found himself in need of help beyond his physical power, beyond his own wisdom and intelligence, beyond his intellectual abilities. Should you ever find yourself now or ever in such a position, remember that if Lloyd were standing next to you, he would tell you God is right there for you now, willing to help you with the righteous desires of your heart, no matter who you are or what your past has been. I know that to be true. I know with all my heart that God will help you, no matter your past, no matter who you are, if you only ask God with sincerity. I know that because Heavenly Father loves all of His children and will answer all of their prayers if they ask. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives liberally to everyone. He won't scold you. He won't find fault with you. He will give you what you ask. So ask in faith and believe He will answer. And I believe that He will. I could give you countless other stories from kind of an evil atheist who saw the light, prayed, and believed in God, to those who have had addictions, those who have committed what they perceived to be sins that were unforgivable. I have seen those who have been in the depths of despair, who have done some pretty bad things, and who have lost all hope for whatever reason, pray and have their prayers answered. It doesn't take perfection, it just takes desire. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Join me again next week.